You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, have you ever noticed that sometimes things happen in your life and some years can be so vastly different to others? As business owners, I feel like we're constantly faced with enough challenges as it is, and sometimes life can just dish out an unexpected journey that we weren't quite prepared for. Today, I'm joined by salon owner and business mentor, Cassandra Barry. She shares her personal and business journey and how it has shaped her to be the badass woman that you see today. In this episode, she shares her story of how she began her career, her insights, and how her personal experience has shaped her business success. I know you'll learn a lot from this episode. Click on the link below and join us in this episode. Cass, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased, super pleased to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. So, well, look, let's just dive straight in. I'm really keen for you to share with us, first of all, where are you in the world and how did you get into the hair industry? And just take us a little bit through the journey that you've been through that's brought you to today.
Okay, cool. So I am in Queensland. It's really hot here at the moment, so I'm envious of anyone that's not in this 39 degree heat.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm in Queensland. I'm based in the Ipswich area, so just west of Brisbane. And I've been here pretty much my whole life. And it's Ipswich was where I first opened my very, very first salon back in 2010. And I've sort of been in and out of the hairdressing industry, the retail industry, the events industry. I've helped my mum with her floristry business and her retail store. So I've sort of dabbled in a little bit of everything when it comes to sort of businesses, I guess. And the hair industry has been something that I've been a part of over half my life now, since I was 15. So it feels like forever, but it is something that I've always come back to it. I've always landed on my feet and always ended up back in a salon or in the industry in some way.
And so tell us a little bit about the business that you have now.
Now, so I have a couple of businesses. I wear a few different hats, as you might have gathered from the first part. So I have a salon called Diamond Cut, and that is in Brassall in Ipswich. And I'm actually just about to open another salon about 20 minutes away from this one next year. So there'll be two Diamond Cuts taking over Ipswich. And I also own Microtape Hair Extensions. So that was a business I purchased early last year. So I supply the Microtape hair extensions to the industry, so wholesale. So I import and wholesale out. So I've kind of got both avenues there, which is really exciting because the salon keeps me stimulated and creative and keeping my hands dirty. And then I've got the Microtape hair extension business where I sort of can keep tapped into the industry and salon owners. And then that sort of led and pushed me towards launching a business mentoring program, which I'll share a bit more with you guys later. But the salon has only been open for 12 months and it has excelled phenomenally. I have four senior hairdressers in there now and we are just booked up. It's amazing. I'm so, so grateful for the way the salon has panned out and my team is just absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. Full credit to you.
Thanks.
So what do you think it is that has helped you excel in your salon business so quickly?
I definitely think that's got a lot to do with life experience. So back in 2015, when I originally had like my first salon, 2015, I was kind of trying to run the business, trying to be, you know, friend, family, girlfriend, all of those things. And unfortunately, everything just kind of went downhill pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I got into a lot of debt. I ran behind on my rent. things just sort of weren't really panning out how I would have loved them to. Lots and lots of stress, obviously. As business owners, we all know that feeling. So in 2015, I came to the end of my lease on my first salon, and it was kind of really easy to just give the keys back. And then they kept my bond and kind of, you know, I dealt with the debt and things like that. So I was also pregnant at the time too. So it was kind of easy to focus on, you know, the baby and kind of walk away from the salon because it was just, it wasn't fun anymore. It was just too stressful and I wasn't really getting anywhere, no matter how hard I worked. So I handed the keys back for that and walked away from that salon in October 2015. But then my life took a pretty drastic turn November 2015, and my husband of 9 months, we'd only been married for 9 months, my husband actually passed away. So he was 26, and simply one night he went to sleep and he never woke up again. So not only had I sort of felt like I'd failed and lost everything with my salon, but I now had my life completely uphauled and turned on its head whilst 30 weeks pregnant with our son. So in that time, you can't help but look at life differently and make changes. You kind of have to wake up and realize how short our time here actually is, and how easily and how quickly, how in a split second that it can change. So I definitely credit a lot of my success now to the personal development and just, I guess, the new outlook on life, to sort of that moment in time, because it's obviously changed me as a person, which then has flowed over into my salon, and it's changed me as a boss because I'm working on myself more. So I feel that I can have a bit of a better dynamic with my team and a better understanding on people because I have sort of deep dived into a little bit more of my personal development and my own life.
For sure. For sure. Although rather suddenly and rather drastically, I might
yes.
add.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what would you say are some of the things that you have learned? I mean, these are some of the things you're going to share with us today. What are those sort of key lessons that you've learned that have been so impactful for you?
Not everything's going to happen my way just because I want it to.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
It's like, damn. Definitely letting go of control. Letting go of trying to perfect everything. And for me, I look at life now as life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners here would have heard that somewhere before at some point. And it takes a lot to sort of go, no, I'm sick of all this stuff happening to me, I'm so over it, nothing ever goes right. It's like, well, no, you need to actually just stop and sort of have a look at what is happening and why it's happening. And see, I guess, sort of what the bigger picture is, or what the message or what the lesson is from that situation.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful thing to say, because I would suspect that that message or that outlook would be very easy to miss given the circumstances.
Oh, definitely. It's so easy to just blame other people for other things. But like for me in this situation, especially the passing of my husband, I had nothing, like, there was no one to blame. Like, he wasn't sick. There wasn't really anything that came up as cause of death. Like, there was no accident or anything like that. So there was really no one or nothing to blame. It just was. So I kind of had to, yeah, really wake up and get my ass into gear, and also try and figure out how to be a mum amongst all of that chaos.
What were some of the key lessons that you learned during that time that you can share with us? I mean, we were just chatting before about the need to ask for help.
Yeah, that was a big thing, and that took me quite some time to sort of do, I think, because I was also trying to be strong for myself, for my son, and then for my family. So asking for help, I was like, oh, I don't want to put anyone else out, or everybody else is grieving just like me, so I don't want to ask for help. And once I finally did ask for help, like, wow, you know, everything actually just fell into place and everything was a lot easier. So I've definitely taken that into my salon situation and just little things like delegating tasks to my staff. So asking them to do something rather than me saying I'll do it and then it never gets done. But then also asking for help with like mentors and coaches and other business owners. And it's just made the transition and all those sort of ups and downs and those speed bumps that we hit, it's just made it a little easier to sort of tackle them rather than doing it on my own, which is like what I used to do. And then that's what led to the stress and closing the salon and all of that sort of stuff.
For sure. It's a hard one to overcome though, isn't it? I remember when I had my first son and I'd had a cesarean, I was sitting at home and felt like a cup of tea. I think I was holding the baby. And I remember not wanting to, my husband had not long sat down himself and not wanting to ask him to make me a cup of tea, yet actually hobbling up the stairs to make a cup of tea was ridiculous for me to do it. But I didn't. And I think I was used to being, I didn't want to bother other people and used to being completely self-sufficient. And then to have a baby to suddenly you're not self-sufficient at all, really. It's really hard to overcome and let go of, like you say, letting go of control, right?
100%. It does take some time and it takes practice. Like it literally takes practice. But when you do, like it's really quite freeing and it just makes so much more room for like so many other things. So now because I delegate or I ask for help, I have more time to do the things that I love for my business. And I definitely credit a lot of that to the success and where we're going because I'm doing the things that I like rather than forcing the things that I don't like.
And you said something really important too, rather than saying, yes, I'll do it and then making people wait because it's actually not realistic for us to do it. And potentially we're not very good at it because, you know, you're not usually not very good at the things that you don't like, right?
And so it's
really important to recognize that actually delegating is helping momentum, right? Keeping the wheels oiled and keeping things moving. So, I wholeheartedly agree with that. As tough as it can be.
It is. It really is. I've just hired a friend of mine who is really good with graphics because I would come up with these ideas for like promos or something, but I was like, no, I need a graphic for social media. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then I would never get the graphic created. So then the promo would never get put out there.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, it was too late. Like the idea and the timing and everything had gone. So now I've hired essentially a girl to be here and be on call basically when I have an idea and I'm like, cool, I need you to create this. Boom, it's done. And that's really exciting and really, I'm really excited to sort of propel and really utilize her coming into the new year.
And you're removing roadblocks, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Great tip. Ask for help. All right. What's your tip number two?
Learning lessons. So I think I sort of touched over it. But rather than going, oh, nothing's working. Oh, I'm sick of this and nothing ever goes my way and blah, 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 blah. Actually just stop, look back at the situation and see why it happened, see what contributed to it and what you can actually take from it. We all say like mistakes are lessons. We all need to make them. And that's where I'm really glad that I made so many of my mistakes in the first 5 years of having my salon from 2010 to 2015, because now I've got a salon with more staff than I've ever had before. And I've got another salon coming and I'm just avoiding so much of the chaos and stress because if I start to fall into an old habit, I'm like, hey, no, like, remember what you did last time? Remember how that turned out? Mm-hmm. So I can sort of look back and go, okay, no, we're not going down that rabbit hole again.
Yeah. You're, being more intentional about your decisions, right?
100%. Yeah. And if something does happen, that's kind of like, I'm like, whoa, you know, I blinked and like, what just happened? You do. I just sort of stop. I just assess. I go back and sort of see, you know, where it all kind of, where it all stemmed from.
Yeah, I love it. I've just realized I've got this new saying in my own business with the team here, and that is there's no sorry. Don't say sorry. I love my team and they're so beautiful. And if they ever make a mistake, of course, it's natural to want to apologize. Mm-hmm. And my reaction is don't say sorry. You know, there's no sorry. There's no mistake. It's just we're all trying our best. We learn what we need to learn and we know what not to do next time and we just keep going. So not to say that the sentiment of sorry is not valid or good, but I know that most people have good intent and so we just pick ourselves up and we keep going.
Yeah, definitely. And I do get the whole sorry thing. Like I've got a couple of guys and they'll do something like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't need to be sorry. Like it wasn't that huge. Like you don't need to be sorry. Just move on and don't do it again. Like
they get real panicky.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I like that one.
All right. Your next tip, I have to say, is one of my favorite.
Am I allowed to say
it? You're allowed to say it in full blow.
I'm allowed to say it in full. Just fucking do it. That's literally what it is. It's like, you just need to. It's taking the action. Done is better than perfect. And if you do it and it's not perfect and something happens, awesome. There's your lesson, or there's a situation where you might need to ask for help. But you have to at least do it. And I'm a massive, up until recently, I have been a massive procrastinator. I have so many ideas that come in and I write them down and then they kind of just get left in the notepad and nothing goes from there. Or I half start things, like I'll half start a landing page or something and it never gets finished. But I've recently, I recently put my son in daycare an extra day because I just wasn't getting enough done with my day. So I just had to sort of make that compromise. And he's thriving being in daycare an extra day. So I'm so happy that I did it, but it gives me a day now, to have no excuses because he's in daycare. I'm like, I have to utilize this time. Like he's in daycare from this time till this time. I can't muck around. I've got to just fucking do it. And my businesses are thriving for it. Like I'm seeing success and ticking boxes and goals and things like that each and every day. So it's really rewarding if you just kind of get out of your head and just do it.
So that JFDI I learned while I spent two awesome years working with Timely Salon Software, and that was a saying that was a common thread throughout the company, and it was forgiveness over permission. So it gave people permission to, you know, just go ahead and give things a try and just freaking do it. And you know, you can ask for forgiveness afterwards if it wasn't perfect, rather than having to have a culture of asking for permission before you got to do anything, which actually just holds back momentum, right? So I really, really love that. And I especially love that trying to work around kids or school hours or daycare time, because it really makes you really think hard about each and every hour and what you're going to invest your time in, right? Like, actually, I want to invest. For me, I work between 9 and 3, that's school hours, and everything that I can possibly do, I try and fit it in that time. And I prioritize, like, if it's not important, it ain't getting done. And sometimes that means saying no to, you know, going and having a coffee or something, which I would love to do more of. But yeah, it does. It puts the pressure on. But I do love the just friggin', I can't bring myself to say it, just friggin' do it. I'll leave that bit to you.
It's just a really good descriptive word.
Exactly. And there's lots of words that you can put there.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Frig's good for me today.
That works.
All right, I love that. And I love that you have the ability to share your story and so many learnings. We were together recently at the Secret Salon Society Summit, which is where I heard you talk about this story. And I thought, yeah, I just need you to come and join, share that journey with us, because there are so many lessons that you've learned that I think we can all be inspired by.
Yeah, definitely. And it really has helped me to be a better person in general, but then it's also definitely helped me to be like a better business owner, a better boss, just an easier person to communicate and deal with. You can't help but not look at life through different eyes when something like that happens.
For sure. For sure. All right. Tell us, what is a quote or a mantra or something that you live by? Share something with us.
So earlier this year, I launched a business mentoring program called Badass Boss. And my main focus with that program is to actually sort of be a bit of like a personal development program as well as like business mentoring. So what I ideally like to do is work with, you know, the bosses or the business owners and help for them to sort of get really clear on themselves so that they can then help their team to the best of their ability. So for me, it's to be the most badass boss, you have to be the most badass version of yourself first.
I love that.
Yeah, we can't pour from an empty cup. So we need to fill ourselves up to then be able to build our team up and keep them happy and excited and thriving.
100% agree. All right. Speaking of things as such, tell us a book or a podcast or some kind of resource that you is a go-to for you all the time that you recommend that our salon owners should also do.
For me, I've really utilized and tapped into a lot of the Facebook groups that are out there. I read hundreds of like heaps of books. I've got so many books on my shelf. I don't even know which one to tell you guys to read right now. It depends on what mood I'm in. And I'm a half finisher of a book. I never get to the end. I can't delegate that, unfortunately.
No, I guess not.
But for me, really utilizing those Facebook groups out there, but you don't need to be in all of them. Find the one that really resonates with you and has your kind of people in it. So I know there's ones that are like obviously industry specific, then there's ones that are like business specific, and like Larissa mentioned, the Secret Salon Society. So that's definitely one that I'm in and that I've stayed in. And then I've got my gorgeous friend, Carissa Hill, who Coffee with Carissa. I find that those groups are quite diverse and you can sort of ask, you know, lots of different questions. And they're the ones that I've just connected with the most. You don't need to be in every single group because it's really overwhelming and there are so many of them out there. But find the ones that resonate with you the most and utilize them. Ask questions. Use the content that people put in the group and things like that. And then obviously the Salon Owners Collective I'm a part of as well. And then I'm also a SalonBot customer. So the marketing is just phenomenal. So they're groups that I've really just found my place in. And it took me a while to sort of find the ones that I wanted to be a part of, and I just left the ones that I didn't want to be a part of.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because you're right. You need to have a little bit of intention and be present in the ones that, like you say, resonate, and then leave the rest. Or you might be in one for a while and then move on to something else as you grow and move and change. Because otherwise, it is a little overwhelming. And then putting it onto your favorites so you can be active and be part of it. My advice too, actually, just come to think of it, Cass, is to not be shy to ask and talk. I do think that is, you know, there's always the diehards like ourselves who are active in chat, but I think for those that feel shy to do so, I encourage you to just get active. I think, you know, you've got nothing to lose. Would you agree?
Definitely. And there's even been a situation in the Secret Salon one I noticed last week. And somebody had obviously messaged Christy the question. And so Christy posted it and just said, posting on behalf of a member. I'm like, cool. At least whatever that person was took the step to ask the question or to ask for help. They didn't have to put their name to it or anything like that. I think some people are concerned because there's so many different people in groups and things like that, but you can utilize, contact a group admin if you really need help with something, or contact somebody else that's in the group and get them to post on your behalf. But interact, back through, you know, on make it a thing in your calendar. On a Monday, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to check what was posted in the groups over the weekend or sort of see what I missed. And just have a scroll through and see what might inspire you for the week or what other questions people might have asked that could have been a question that you've been meaning to ask for ages.
Yeah, good point. Hey, just speaking about books and unfinished books, I'm a audiobook listener because I have the same challenge as you. I read two or three pages and I start to fall asleep. It's not good. But there is an app. There's an app for that. There's an app, and I can't remember the name right now, but I'll seek it out and I'll pop it on the show notes of this episode, where they send you, or you can download a short version or a sort of synopsis of a book. Some of those really famous key books that have really great messages. And somebody reads it to you, or they just do a couple of chapter summary of the whole context of the book. So if you don't have the time or the inclination to do all the things and do take read the whole thing, that you can just get the summary and get the key points. So I'll search that out and I'll put it in the show notes.
That's true.
Great resource. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do. If I don't like it, I'll scroll forward a few pages. Well, not scroll. I'll flip forward a few pages and see. I'm like, we'll see if like this, you know, grabs my attention a bit further in. And then otherwise, I'll just go to the next one.
Yeah, because otherwise sometimes you can miss some really great messages just because the reading style doesn't match, or it's really formal and, you know, that doesn't work in your brain, which is my case. So, yeah, great.
That's handy. I did not know that.
There's an app for everything, I tell you.
There is, isn't there?
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for coming and sharing your words of wisdom. I'm going to put a link to all of your various things mentioned, including your group. Can you share with us where people can find you and reach out to you?
Yeah, so Facebook is the best option. So my Facebook page is just Cassandra Barry, and Barry is spelled B-A-R-R-I-E. And then my group is Badass Boss with Cass Barry. So they're easy. Just search them on the Facebook search engine. And that's sort of probably the easiest way to contact me these days. I actually realized on the weekend, I don't even have my sister-in-law's mobile number because we just talk on Facebook all the time. Facebook is where it's at.
This is where it's at. That's right. I was just going to say, and at the salon, you can go and check out your salon bot. That's why, right? Because this is how we talk with each other now.
It is. Yes. You can jump onto, Diamond Kite, jump onto our messenger and meet Dixie, our salon bot.
Love Dixie. Yes, you've got to go and meet Dixie. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thanks for sharing your very transformational story. I really appreciated it.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to. I've been asked. It was really funny. Christy set out a challenge at the summit that we were at together. And she gave us a list of stuff to do when we got home. And it was asked to be on a podcast or in a group. And there was like a whole list of things. And then I was like, yes, I can tick that one off.
amazing what happens when you put it out there.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
And that's a wrap. Now, it was great to be reminded that as business owners, it's impossible to do all the things and be all the people in business. Delegating or automating tasks can create space in our life for more complex business decisions and tasks that actually need us. The things that only we can do as business owners. Now, a great automation tool that you can use within your business that we talked over in this episode is SalonBot. Now, have you listened to a previous episode where I interview Susie Broad from marketing coordinator at SalonBot? Why no one likes your posts ever? I encourage you to go and listen and learn more about it. If you want to discover how to harness the power of messenger marketing and stop replying to all of those messages late at night, then this is the episode for you. Head to the show notes of this episode and learn more about implementing SalonBot to your life, salonmessagebot.com. Now, just for clarification, it is not a bot that comments or likes on other people's account. No, 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 that is not what it is about. It supercharges your reach and social media engagement and improves your booking conversion rates using the power of intimate messenger marketing. I look forward to seeing you on the podcast next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.